Will you pray with me? God, as we feel that Spirit moving in our hearts, help us to pray. Help us to be open to you, to your message, to your love, and to your wisdom. Amen.
Amen.
So, in the gospel message today, we hear this story of Peter, James, and John having just gotten some news, knowing that things are going to get really, really bad for Jesus. They go up the mountain with Jesus, and these three, Peter, James, and John, really want things to be different. They don't want Jesus to suffer, and they don't want to lose him. This image of going up the mountain, of course, echoes Moses on the mountain in Exodus, but it also echoes scenes in our own lives. Those of us who have to deal with grief, which is everyone, we can relate to how these three felt, knowing that they're going to lose their beloved Jesus. Those in this congregation who have been through learning that your spouse is terminally ill, or held the hand of a parent as they died, those who, with the excitement of pregnancy, then find out that they have lost the baby, they are also in this scene of going up the mountain. This complex thing we call grief and suffering. We have moments in which we suffer, and then we have what these folks in the story are dealing with, which is called anticipatory suffering. It's the knowing that the bad thing, the scary thing, the thing we don't want is going to happen. And in some ways, the anticipation of this is far worse than the actual event. Anyone who has ever loved another person, and I certainly hope that that applies to every single person in this room, whether a friend or a lover, spouse or child, if you have loved another human being, you know that watching someone else suffer is far worse than enduring it yourself. There are moments in life when we realize, as we stand in our place of suffering or the anticipation of suffering, that we are standing on holy ground. That this ground might shake, it might not feel firm, but it is sacred. And it is in that place, in that holy ground, in that fear and anticipation of something that might be awful, that God prepares us to be transformed. And transformation is great in theory, but real transformation is hard, and it's stressful, and it means questioning who we are and what we are called to do. It means a possible shift in our entire world, and that's scary. But like Christ in the story, where Christ becomes transfigured, we break free of what we are, and we become something new. The question is, do we want to? Do we want to be something new? Do we want to be transformed? Because as human beings, we are painfully stubborn, right? Oh, are there some stubborn people in this congregation? Your pastor's a little stubborn, too. You all don't have the benefit of seeing my lovely spouse's face. Yes, stubbornness is something that keeps us alive. It keeps us here. I'll tell you what, I wouldn't be a pastor if I weren't stubborn. If all the people in my life who said, no, you can't do that, if I weren't so stubborn to keep showing up and saying, yeah, I can, I wouldn't be a pastor. And many of you here, if you weren't so stubborn, you would not be living the lives that you are called to live. You would not be living with the person you love, raising the kids that you love, doing the things that God wants you to do. We have to be stubborn to make it happen. And when we are stubborn, it gets in our way. Because you might be so stubborn and you're going to get what you need, and then you discover that you have to go up that mountain with Peter and James and John and Jesus, and transformation is going to happen on that mountain. And suddenly you say, no, I'll just be stubborn right here. Looks pretty good right here. Because we don't want to be transformed most of the time. We certainly don't want to take up the cross like Christ. Because to get from point A to point B is painful and scary. But of course, there is good news. The good news is that God prepares us for this. We have moments of transcendence in our own lives, and these moments connect us to the Spirit. We had a transcendent moment just now with the ordination of Debbie Blanton, the blessing of Kevin Clark. We had a transcendent moment. But not all transcendent moments involve written out liturgies and a formal celebration. The transcendent moments are anything that connect us to the Spirit. The Spirit is what equips us. And those moments can happen when you're driving across the bridge and you see the dolphins that you occasionally can see in the water. Or when you're thinking of a friend and then that friend out of the blue calls you or sends you a text message. That is a transcendent moment. That is a moment of the Spirit moving between your heart and someone you care about. In the transcendent moments, prepare us for this world. Because this world is the world of the cross. It is the world of politics, of fighting for recognition within our families. It is the world in which we are currently fighting to keep children from being forced into therapy to try to keep them from growing up to be just like us. This is a world in which people are way too concerned about which bathrooms kids are using in schools. And not concerned enough with how these kids are to be made safe to know that they are loved. Because this world is the world of complexity and mess. This world is a world of physical pain and social anxiety. And it is a world full of opportunities to transcend. Even in our most mundane moments, we can glimpse God. Even in the moments when we're bored or uncomfortable, hopefully not right this minute, being bored or uncomfortable, even in the moments when we doubt ourselves to the core of our being, we can get a glimpse of God and we can be transformed. And when we live into change, we live into this transformation. It's not just Jesus who is transformed. It is Jesus who gives the example of transformation to all of us. When we help others, when we feed the hungry here on Wednesdays, also when we are in meetings here in the evenings, some that run way too long, when we, I heard the spouse of a board member laugh just then. Praise God. When we recognize that the foreigner, the stranger, is not a stranger, is not our enemy, but is our neighbor, we transcend and we experience God. The theologian Moretta Madeline Anschutz tells us that transfiguration teaches us two things. First, there's nothing that the disciples can do to save themselves from suffering. And second, there's nothing that they can do to shield themselves from the light of God that sheds hope in their darkest moments. This, of course, is the same for us. There is absolutely nothing that we can do to avoid suffering. And even worse, there is nothing that we can do to avoid our beloved's suffering. Let me tell you, watching your kid go through heartbreak is a million times worse than having your heart broken. Watching your beloved be sick, maybe in the hospital, is significantly worse than you being sick or in the hospital. And there is nothing in this world that can save us from that suffering. But there is so much hope in it. There's hope in the suffering because the love that we have for each other transcends it. The mere fact that when your child falls down and gets hurt, that it hurts you a lot, shows that there is hope for us as human beings. The fact that when our best friend is crying, we also cry. When we hear that something bad has happened to someone in this congregation, we all come together. That gives us hope. And what that teaches us is that, as the theologian Anschutz says, nothing can shield the disciples, nothing can shield us from God's grace that is shining on us. We might think that we are better off hiding away, especially in those dark moments. But God's grace is still going to get us. It's still going to lighten our lives. And we are stubborn. We don't want the suffering, but also much of the time we think we don't want the light of God shining on us either. Because it's bright and it's scary and it might reveal the truth. And the truth is that we are beautiful beyond comprehension. The truth is that our ability to be compassionate, our ability to shine God's love on others is unending. And God calls us to transformation, no matter how scared we are, no matter how awkward it feels, no matter what, we are called to lovingly, compassionately bring one another to a place of being transformed. Today we saw transformation as Kevin and Debbie stood up to become chaplain and deacon. We saw transformation in this congregation when the kids came up for the kids' message because every week they've grown a little bit more. We see transformation every time we walk through these doors because we are all working together to get to our goal. And our goal isn't our fundraising goal, although it's important. Our goal isn't getting out there and saving souls just so we can say we've got a great big church. Our goal is to shine God's light, like Jesus did when he was transformed. We are the light of the world. Amen.